Good morning. Glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. Glad to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll come and join us again. Wow, what a big job we had yesterday to move all that wood chips, wood mulch, whatever, into the preschool playground. Thank you to everybody who came to help. It was a big job for us, but it's going to be a big joy to the kids. They can fall down and not get hurt now. Make sure if you drive around the church, you look at all that, because it was quite a big job, and thank you to everybody. And while we're talking about the preschool, I want to be sure to mention that coming soon, on October 24th, they're having their fall festival. It will be an opportunity to come here to the church and enjoy a meal with your friends and then to support the preschool in numbers of ways. So that will be on October 24th. There's information in your Go and Serve about that. I want to remind you that All Saints Sunday is rapidly approaching. Your chance to give names for us to remember during that service, please turn those into the church office. And there are a bunch of other upcoming events, Leisure Timers and the WELCA annual meeting. Again, all that's in your Go and Serve. Pay attention to that. Shannon, you wanted to talk for a moment. So my question is if we come, do we get to play on the slip and slide? It's hard to believe, but it's time for poinsettias to be ordered, and you should have found that form in your bulletin this morning, and the deadline for that is November 13th. Jonathan.
Hi, all. So yesterday, some of the youth and I and Greg Cross went apple picking up at Sky Top Orchard. Sorry, I always get it wrong. But it was a blast. Next week we have a Mardi Party, which if you don't know, that's where a bunch of Lutheran churches across the Midlands go and can compete for games, and there's a Martin Luther bobblehead that's the prize. It's very coveted among the youthers, so there's that. And finally, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be out of town, and I'm feeling a little blue about it. But I look forward to seeing you guys.
Thank you, Jonathan. I noticed when we were shoveling wood chips and things, I saw you just drive right by with all the youth. And Greg, and I just went riding right by, waved, and you know. I'm like, huh? Yep. All right, let's prepare for our worship. Thank you. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of the whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven, God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
to be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead, we may follow the way of your commandments and receive the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Have you seated him with the children? Please come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Y'all know what this is? You do? Jordan, you might not know what this is yet. But, oh, we got another one. Yeah. Okay. Hello. You're good. Yeah. So, I brought this because I was thinking today that about all the things that I have to do in order to get to heaven. All the rules I've got to follow. And so I didn't get to bring the real list, but I brought this because this is kind of like my list. You know, I can write something down on, like, you know, if I wanted to get to heaven, I should listen to my parents, right? And I should not tell lies, right? And I should not kill anybody, right? And I should be nice to Miss Nan after her comment earlier. And I should be willing to pay for that later. And that list, you know, that list is just going to go on and on and on, right? Right? In fact, it's so many things on this list, it broke. It would just roll all the way down there, wouldn't it? And it would still keep going. Of all the things I would have to try to do to get to heaven, do you think I'd ever finish it? No, I never would finish it. And so how am I going to get to heaven? That's a tough one, isn't it? Well, the good news is, it's not about all the things I do. It's about Jesus and his love for me and how Jesus died for me to be able to do that. Today, we're going to hear the story of a rich man who tries to do everything in the world to get to heaven, but he can't make it on his own. It takes Jesus. That's how we get there. So that's what I wanted you to remember today. You can create all kind of lists of everything you need to do to get to heaven, but that's not going to get you there. It's Jesus and his love for us that does. Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and for saving us, that we may one day spend eternity in your joy and in your love. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Amos. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is a reading from Hebrews. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Although she wasn't born here, most of her life my mother has lived in the South. So as you might expect, she has picked up some Southern ways of speaking. And one of those that has intrigued me over the years has been those times when she will suddenly say, "Well, I swanee." I typically look at her and say, "Would you please? I've always wanted to know what that is, and I'd like to see it." Well, this week I discovered that there are quite a few sayings that we utter all the time that are apparently peculiar to the South. For example, in other parts of the country, they don't say cattywampus, or they don't call the remote control the clicker. I'll bet you know what it means to say your eyeballs are floating, or that you're fixing to do something. You know what "give me some sugar" means, and what a hissy fit is. Plus, I'll bet you know that you pitch a hissy fit and have a conniption. At some point or the other, we've probably all said, "If the creek don't rise," or "She's as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs." We know what it means to play possum. And from time to time, we might reckon on something. We use the sweeper instead of the vacuum, and our evening meal tends to be supper with dinner reserved for Sundays after church. Where we are from is our stomping grounds, and when we are emotionally distraught, we are all tore up, bless your heart. Now, those are just a few. I could go on and on, apparently talking a language I thought was English, but which the rest of the world doesn't quite get. There are lots and lots of Southern sayings. Our gospel reading today is full of sayings, things we've heard time and time again, like this one: "The first will be last, and the last will be first." And we've come to know that that means that in the kingdom of God, the rules that we normally have just don't apply. The first being last and the last being first
means that our normal ideas about wealth and prestige are meaningless as far as God is concerned. And instead, we should be concerned about the poor, the outcast, and the lowly. Jesus is telling us that we are called to compassion and service for others. Jesus is telling us that we are all children of God, no matter the earthly things that we let separate us. Or there's this saying, for God, all things are possible. Well, now we know in our hearts that this is true. Our God is a great and wonderful God. We trust in God, especially in the midst of difficult circumstances that are beyond our abilities. We trust in the only thing we can, that it is all in God's hands. But if we are honest, we have to admit that we struggle with this saying in those times when we don't want what is possible for God to do in God's love. For example, when God might have mercy on someone, we don't particularly want to receive mercy. Or when we pray for someone to change and God might just think the one who needs changing is us. And then there's this well-known saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes we take comfort in that one, feeling like we aren't rich, so we must be in the kingdom. But then we read something like what William Boyce wrote, where he said, I have been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obvious wrong choice, but it has set me thinking. No matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, hear a pipe organ, watch TV, wash dishes in running water, type a letter, mow a lawn, fly in an airplane, sleep on an innerspring mattress, or talk on the phone. If he was rich, then what am I? And suddenly that saying that brought us comfort isn't so comfortable anymore. Well, here's another one. Give your money to the poor and then come follow me. Well, we've heard that one, but somehow we tend to convince ourselves that Jesus didn't really mean it. And then there's this one. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. This rich man, with all his faults, knelt there before Jesus, and Jesus loved him. This man, so possessed by his possessions that he was the only person in the Gospels who was invited to be a disciple and chose not to follow, is loved by Jesus. This man who found himself incapable to do the one thing Jesus asked of him is loved by Jesus. And that's good news for all of us. It's good news for all of us who so often fail to live up to putting the last first and the first last, who struggle to get ourselves out of the way so that we can authentically love others. Jesus loves us. And it's good news for all of us who so often fail to let God be God or to let God do the impossible and make things the way God wants them, and sometimes who refuse to be transformed ourselves. Jesus loves us. And it's good news for all of us who pretend we don't have wealth and riches and presume our place in God's kingdom. Jesus loves us. And it's good news for all of us who ignore God's call to deny ourselves in order to serve others, in order to have true treasure in heaven. Jesus loves us too. I think that's the most important saying in this passage. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. We have our faults. We're not up to snuff, as they say. But Jesus loves us, and our hearts are blessed. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of all, you have called us and you have made us yours. Being in your family means so much to us, Lord God. We feel you near. We feel the nearness of each other in love, and it fills our lives with celebration and joy. Walk before us and with us, O God, that we might always walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen our faith now, living Savior.
In a world that so often seeks to pull us away from you, draw us close. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that our faith lives and breathes in us. Lord, in your mercy, loving Prince of Peace, bring your peace among us. May peace thrive between us and our many conflicts with each other. May peace grow within us as we struggle with our worries and fears. Bless us with your love that we might truly be your family all over the world. Lord, in your mercy, great God of hope, bring your hope to the many in need, those who hunger or are lonely or in sorrow. We remember especially today all those who have experienced the devastation of Hurricane Michael. Give us your comfort, your care, and your help. Show us your presence in our lives always. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, saving servant, reach out through us to each other. You have blessed us richly and have called us to be a blessing to others. Use our hands as your hands. Fill us with fervent compassion and love that we may live in love always. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
God of life,
you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life. You fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gift that forms us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
bread. Throw it out in the yard like the rest of it?
No. Pack it back up.
Oh. Tony Everett did that one time. Threw it out there for the birds.
Some of the little pieces you can, but most of this we try not to. Try to keep it. The wine goes out.
Thank you. Requirements, but I was restricted.